Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Hi, friends, and welcome to the Papaya Podcast. I'm your hostess, trying her mostest, Sarah Nicole, and each week I'm going to be dishing out some sweetness mixed in with some seeds of wisdom or something like that. So get ready to get inspired, get candid, get real, because we are all in this digital space together.
Okay, we are actually doing an in-person podcast today. This is used to be the ethos of the show at the beginning, was to actually sit down with somebody, have a meaningful conversation, and getting to upload it to the internet for everyone to kind of tune in with. And then the pandemic happened, and we rarely get these opportunities anymore, unless it's Becky who waltzed down the street. So today, I have my dear friend Daniel is here, Daniel Race Coca, and you might know them from Instagram as Do The Daniel.
That's me.
You might see him on City Line, doing all the things, and you are a longtime listener of the pod too. So this is quite a treat.
I am. I've been a huge fan. Obviously, we've known each other quite some time now.
Yeah.
And we've been trying to do this episode forever.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah, but life happens, and that's fine. You were one of the first podcasts that I ever listened to. I never really got into it. It was only in the last like 12 months.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't even listen to podcasts that are like my podcast.
That's funny. I appreciate it.
I like a crime podcast.
Fair.
That's it.
Okay, so I listened to you. I listened to one that's called Terrible Thanks for Asking, which is
my God. No, love her. Yes. She's the best.
And then Julio got me on Ologies, which is all about like learning about different sciences.
Oh, so,
there's an episode about like butterfly scientists.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Mm. So I have to ask you, what made you really say yes to coming on the pod? Like, what made you go, okay, like, I'm ready to hop on and be a guest on the show that I listen to?
Okay, so obviously, I love your content, and we've become friends over the years, but it was the vulnerability that a lot of people bring to these episodes.
Yeah.
That was really important to me. There's a lot of, how do I say this nicely, polished versions of people online.
For sure.
And I've always appreciated that you're not like that. You're very, and that's not an insult. It's actually a compliment.
I love that.
But it's like, this is me. This is who I am.
Mm-hmm.
100%.
Yeah.
It's not this like perfect little version. And I've always tried to lean into that a little bit.
Mm.
Obviously, you put some finesse on yourself and you put yourself on the internet.
Of course.
But I've always wanted to just be 100% myself. And people over the years have sort of said, like, don't be too personal. It scares people off. And I was like, actually, it's the opposite for me.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I draw into like, I actually saw a post by Victoria Garrick yesterday, who hosts The Real Pod. And she did a post of just a text that she sent somebody in a moment of being overwhelmed. And the likes on it were really, really high. And I thought, this is the grit that sometimes we really need and miss. And it is the least curated. Her face is not in it. It's literally a text bubble. And yet we all paused to read what was being said and then resonated with what she was saying. And I feel like two different ways, because I feel like, and I don't know if you have this as well, but as you spend more time on social media and you kind of get into these chasms of criticism and stuff like that, and through different parts of your life, I feel like I am less real than I was a few years ago, only because I've changed my boundaries and what I'm comfortable talking about.
Yeah.
And at the same time, I have grown in appreciation for people who only show the highlight reel because I know now how hard it is. I have always been like, here, let's show you my cellulite and my stretch marks. And I had the ability to work through criticism for that. Talking about mental health, I don't think I was prepared for criticism around that.
Right.
I don't think I was ready for how uncomfortable people would be or how much the stigma still existed. And so now I'm like, oh, I get why for, and I found too, like when I'm overwhelmed, I get really drawn into the people who are being very vulnerable and mm-hmm. the people who are only talking about the fluff.
Yeah.
And I appreciate the fluff because
yeah,
I'm like,
a distraction there.
Entertain me.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's, it's yeah. like, it's, but the podcast is, as you said, like it is very different because nobody's talking back to us.
No, it's just you and I. We're yeah. sitting in a room wearing big headphones, staring at each other across the table. And I appreciate that.
Yeah. And there's no plan here.
No. And that's, there was something really, it just drew me to it. And that's why I kind of pestered you. I'm not going to lie. There was like a full on campaign to be on here.
Oh my God. You were always, you're always in. You're shooing.
I appreciate that. But I have always wanted to just be 100% a conversation, mm-hmm. right? And recently, and I know I talk about this episode all the time, but it's the episode that you and Nicole Breen did yeah. about the friend breakup.
People talk about that one constantly.
And I recently, you saw that post. I recently shared about it. And I have not had that kind of feedback in years.
Yeah.
And it was, I mean, hundreds of DMs, hundreds yeah. of comments. It got shared on every platform I can think of. And it just got to the point where I was so moved
yeah.
by just being really honest.
Yeah.
And I appreciate you're right. There are beautiful people online that are basically videographers and everything is yeah. stitched together.
I don't
together.
Know how they're
perfect.
Doing it.
I don't even know
it's
how to
really
do
it. It's really setting a standard that I cannot yeah. meet.
I'm still doing boomerangs and apparently that's wrong.
I love when people like hire me to make a reel and I'm like, are you sure about that? 100% like, and they're like, we don't care about the quality. I'm like, I try my best.
I shoot everything on my phone and I'm proud to say that. Like, that's,
yeah, whatever. It's like, fine. It is what it is. It's there's a lot of pressure to be like this really chic kind of creator. And then what I find fascinating is whenever I just like slap something together and put it up, I'm like, that's the stuff that does well. Because I think we set a standard for ourselves
yeah.
that we have to be at the same level as another person. Or how many podcasters do I witness who have like full studios that they're working out of and doing these like incredibly polished videos. And I'm like, I'm not there, but yet people are showing up yep. each and every week. The show is growing each and every year. I mean, I think we're at around 11 million downloads now.
That's
it is
incredible. Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you. But I'm like, I'm so glad that in a way, although I did get caught up in the how do I do this perfectly,
right.
that I've scaled back. I think the pandemic sort of forced us. And it was a great equalizer in a way for creators to be like, oh my God, we can't constantly access photographers and videographers to do all our content. We have to figure out how to do this ourselves too.
Yeah.
And if I'm honest, that's where TikTok was born out of, was people who were just slapping things together. It's never been these polished videos. It's always been almost like how Vine was. It was like 8 seconds
Vine.
Of chaos.
Oh, R.I.P.
Oh my gosh, the best.
Literally.
Honestly, when TikTok announced doing like longer than 3-minute videos, I was like, no.
Oh God, didn't they just launch like 30 or something like that? No. It's been something crazy. I remember
it's because they're in a pissing contest with
yeah, the other
YouTube.
One. There you go. I mean, it was kind of why I loved Be Real, if I'm being honest. I know that all of
that
us.
That was such a moment.
It was a moment. But I know that then all of us are like covering our face with our hands and we're just showing the TV because we're watching TV
it's
during
like,
the
so
pandemic.
Our lives are so, I've never, you know, I really faced how boring my life was in that yeah. moment. And I was like, and that's okay. And then I had one day, we were in Disney and Be Real went off at the moment the fireworks started. And my daughter and I looked at each other and we're like, we will never top this.
That
this
is will icon forever status be, on Be Real.
This will be the best we've ever done. And we will, and then it's back to our feet with the television in the
literally,
background.
Literally, because it never lasted yeah. more than 24 hours, which
no.
was this wild concept.
It was so great.
I mean, it's interesting to watch the evolution of social media and how it played into our mental health. Like, I'm like you, I've been doing this for a very long time.
Yeah.
I turned 10 this year, which is
oh my
epic.
Gosh.
And I'm very proud of that.
So like, great. Congratulations.
Thank you. And I turned 40. And so it's been like this yeah. monumentous year for me.
Yeah.
But over the years, social media has been such a progression when yeah. it comes to your mental health.
Yeah.
And I, for a long time, when I get overwhelmed, I actually shut off. I turn the world off. I
yeah.
ignore my phone. I ignore my friends. Not a good
yeah.
habit. But
yeah,
like,
I do the same.
Yeah. So, and for people like us.
I call it turtling.
Oh, I like that.
I just turtle into my little shell.
I should get us like little sweaters or something. Little turtle
I need that
sweaters.
Little turtle, like that girl with the shark one where when she's sad, she just gets in her little shark. We could do that.
Do you remember during the pandemic, they had those pillows that like you could tell your partner if you were happy or sad by flipping these pillows inside out? I'm telling you, that was a thing because.
Oh my God.
Yeah. How dare we not talk to each other?
Yeah.
But I am in a place now where I'm so comfortable being myself on social media. Yes, there are haters and there's toxic comments.
Yeah.
And that's what I find in TikTok. I never got on it really enough. So I'm late to the game and it's challenging.
It's challenging. I will say that a lot of people are like, I love when you post on TikTok. Like, why don't you do that more? And I'm like, because it's the Wild West. To wake up in the morning and see like hundreds of people who don't actually, like Instagram's a bit of a bubble. It's mostly people who follow you, see your content and respond. They're part of your community. On TikTok, the last time I checked, the stat was like 92% of people who don't follow you. So it's mostly people who are just getting a first impression. And guess what? For someone who like shares their stomach or is like talking about something that might be like in my own relational world that maybe they don't have the context of behind because they don't actually know me. It's like, of course, you're just coming at it with judgment. But I'm like, that's really hard to be a creator and keep showing up when you're just like getting judged. However, that I think it's also an age thing because if you look at the Gen Zers and when I witness, like let's take a Spencer Barbosa, for instance, she shows up all the time every day and people are just so kind. There is like a kindness and they really want to root each other on. And I'm sure there's an exception to that rule. However, I feel like as we've gotten older and as we've spent more time on social media and as the world has gotten harder and as, you know, we've struggled independently, I think there's just, it's a lot more cynical. I don't know. Like it's, I just don't, I have a hard time in that space because I'm like, I don't like how anxious this makes me. I recently saw a creator who was like, if I take something down from my stories, it's not because I regret saying it. It's because I needed to say it. And I only had the capacity to be here for 24 minutes to talk about it. But the anxiety that you get when you put down your phone, after you've said something big, you put down your phone, you don't know what you're coming back to in an hour.
Nope.
And that anxiety can really build up in a person and you really start to, I'm actually working with Monique Melton right now. I'm doing one-on-one coaching with her. And a big thing that we're working on is like retrusting my voice because it's really hard when you're struggling so deeply with anxiety as I have been, as so many people do. Yeah. How do you know what to say and how do you trust what you're saying in a world that everything might hurt somebody or it might be taken the wrong way or could be read in a different way.
Absolutely.
It's very difficult. And I wish we had a little bit more of the Gen Z attitude of like, let's just celebrate each other and let's just like throw up whatever works and like post 40 times a day and not judge.
Why does it have to be like those prime hours?
Yeah.
And is the content too taboo? Yeah. Like that's a whole thing now.
And it's also the reality that, I mean, we were talking about this the other day, like 7 years ago, our whole post would be a picture of our coffee cup.
Mm-hmm.
With the Nashville filter.
Oh my God. Reyes for me. Precursor to my last name. Yes. There you go. So,
and that was the post.
Yeah.
What our order was for coffee in the morning. And now we're producing mini movies.
At this point, we're production companies.
We're production companies. And there's not growth anymore so much for anybody because we're all so tapped out. We're so exhausted following people's art. I follow like 6,000 people and I feel so much guilt whenever I unfollow anybody. So it's like I'm just accumulating and we're all getting burnt out online.
Yeah.
And we're getting burnt out in like so many different parts of our jobs. And we're like, why am I getting burnt out? I've done this for so long. Well, what we used to do was take a picture of a coffee cup.
It's not
the same. And it's very different.
It's been incremental, right? And we don't realize. So I remember the days it was Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And then all of a sudden you're adding in small changes to all of those platforms and you're adding in new platforms. And now you have to create different content for these different platforms.
Oh my God.
And so now, I mean, it kind of feels like rocket science sometimes because I create a reel and I'm really proud of it and it does horribly.
Yes.
And then you do something like you said, where you put something together very silly. Like I did one in the car the other day talking about like the expenses of having a car and people went wild for it. And I was like, okay, I've got to remember to do things for me, not just because I'm doing this as a career anymore.
And learning to not overthink things, which is really hard. I remember like 2 years ago, I made a post about posting the fluff, like not overthinking, like post whatever comes to you. And doesn't Bryce Dallas Howard go ahead and make a reel of her doing her makeup? And she was like, Sarah said, Birds Papaya said, you know, post the fluff. So here's my fluff. I've always wanted to like make it. And I was like, what is happening in the world? Here I was, it had like almost no likes on me just saying, let's just post whatever we want.
Yeah.
And yet here is like this majorly influential person that I just name dropped. And that's totally okay because it's Bryce Dallas Howard. I love her. And she like made a video and called out that like she's always wanted to make a makeup video and she did it. And I was like, whoa, that's so weird and so lovely and so wonderful. Mm-hmm.
Watching small businesses thrive is one of my favorite things to see. And it can be complicated because there are makers that don't have entire teams behind them, or there's a small business that blew up over one viral video overnight, and suddenly they're managing so many new parts of their business. That's why I love Shopify and why so many of my friends who run small businesses rely on Shopify day after day to take so much of that complication of making that sale off of their plate and hearing that cha-ching sound. Now, what exactly is Shopify? Well, Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business, whether it's just you or whether there's 400 of you. From the stage of launching your online store to the first real-life store experience, maybe at a craft show, or did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify is there to help you grow. And it doesn't really matter what you're selling. Shopify helps you sell everywhere with their all-in-one e-commerce platform, from their in-person point-of-sale system, wherever and whatever you're selling. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers as well with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. So you can sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, which is your AI-powered all-star. And if you're a small business starting out on Shopify, well, you're in great company because brands like Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries rely on Shopify. And right now, if you're ready to take the leap, maybe just wanting to see if you can make that first sale, sign up for $1 per month trial at shopify.com/papaya, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/papaya to grow your business or start your business, no matter what stage you're at. Shopify.com/papaya.
Are you looking for some good, clean positivity? Good, me neither. I'm Maddie Murphy, and I host The Bad Broadcast, a weekly comedy podcast dedicated to talking about everything we love to hate. I searched my whole life to find my passion. Little did I know, I had been practicing my true talent every single day. Complaining. Join me every Monday wherever you listen to podcasts, and be sure to follow me on Instagram at The Bad Broadcast to answer our weekly questions and for a chance to be featured on the show. See you there.
One of the reasons why I'm still doing this mm-hmm. is because of those moments of connection,
yes.
right? You have no idea who you're touching with your content.
So real.
And I love that moment for you. But like, it's interesting because going back to that post that I just shared, I had women from across the country, because a lot of my following is women
yes.
and people yes. of the queer community, and middle-aged women just reaching out and be like, I haven't been able to articulate how I've been feeling for the last 8 years. Ugh. And if ever you want to have like an Instagram video call with me, I'd love to tell you. And I was like, oh my God, I'm so moved by this.
Yes.
And those are the things that, the power of social media,
the
right?
power of it. It's yeah. so easy. And I say this every time because people will be like, do you think that you should just quit? Do you think you should just walk away? Like, this is obviously impacting you. And I'm like, but it's impacting me on both ends.
Yeah.
Like, it is my greatest joy. And it is also really tough.
I agree.
And I think all of us are just who are sticking around for as long as we freaking can, because I don't know how long I'm going to do it. I told people that I have mentally given myself a year because it feels nicer to be in control of yep. that decision and feel like everything you do isn't going to equate in the world bottoming out from under you in a process of like trusting your voice again. But when I think of it in that realm, it's like, yeah, I don't know. I want to be somebody who believes in hope.
Yeah.
And I want to be somebody who believes in the good side of things. And I don't want it all to go away because it became so toxic, because the good people kept going away because the toxic people were just louder.
Yeah.
I want to be the joy person. So when I scroll my feed, I have been trying so hard to just leave the best, nicest comments on things. Just be kind. Even if it's Explore Feed, it's nobody I know, it's nobody in a community, just leaving kindness. Because when I'm looking at, I saw a post, and I think I talked about it on here. I saw a post about a woman sharing her artwork.
Mm-hmm.
And then this massive debate began on whether it was art or whether it was a craft. And then people were piling on, and I thought, this poor woman was just posting her
just
embroidery
to, yeah.
art. And it became so combative in the comments. And then there was this really brilliant TikTok about the bean soup analogy, mm-hmm. which are like the what about me-isms
of, you know, I can't eat beans. And what about me? And I can't have that. What do you do if you don't have that? What if you don't struggle with this? What would you substitute? We are looking at social media as if it is like catered towards us.
Absolutely.
And when you look at the comments, I don't know what's been happening lately. And I'm not sure if you've noticed this as well. The negative ones are at the top because yeah. people are responding to them and getting in arguments. So it's showing as the top comment. So when you go into your app and you like open you this post you've worked on for weeks or days or whatever, even 5 minutes, and you open it up and the top thing you see is something bad.
Yeah.
I just try so hard to use that blue check mark to get myself to the top and just be the nicer one.
I agree.
And I have to hold out hope that there's going to be enough of us that choose to get loud in the hope and the love on social media. Otherwise, it's going to fall apart so fast.
And it's pushing us to our limits, like you said, on both sides, good and bad. Yeah. I mean, one of the things, so I love that you do that, by the way, because one of the things I try to do as creators, we know how hard this is as a career.
For sure.
So I have a lot of friends that are in this space and I just constantly try to amplify their content. And it's because I know how challenging it is. If you're not putting big money behind all your content, it's not being seen as much as it used to be. It's not in a growth stage anymore, like you said. So now we're just creating this content and it's getting stifled.
Yeah.
So I'll take things that I love and I just share it. And if it does nothing to help, that's fine. Even I'm sharing because I love. Mm-hmm. That's what it's all about. I have to look at the world. It's an interesting analogy I heard recently that social media is not a mirror, it's a window.
Mm.
And people don't often think like that anymore. Everything is, they want to see themselves in everything. And I respect that because you either resound with it or you don't, you love it or you don't, but it doesn't always have to be about you, like you said. It can just be a vision and a look into someone else's life.
So real. And when somebody comes through the front door of your space and they start, like I always think about that. Somebody gave me that visual years ago. When I was dealing with, you know, just managing the growth and the growth of the negativity that comes with it. And she said, when somebody walked into, if you were having a party and everyone there was having a great time, and then somebody walked in the front door and they just started spewing hate about you and about people in that room, you would show them the door.
You would.
Give yourself permission to do that. Like it's okay. Because I think for the longest time, I was like, I want to be so real that I will leave up all the negative comments and everyone can see because I don't want to filter and create this thing. But then I realized, and as I'm sure you've seen before, when you see a creator that you resonate with a lot, and then you see the harmful things said to them, they're saying it to a collective. They're saying it to a lot of us. Sort of like how when Tom Sandoval criticized Ariana for wearing a shirt in the bedroom, I'm like, you spoke to every woman who has ever felt a way about her body and kept a shirt on. You weren't speaking to Ariana anymore. You were speaking to all of us.
Yeah.
And so I've thought about that more with like the comments. I'm like, you actually don't have permission to be in here and ruin this. Like you don't anymore.
Well, it's interesting. You and I were talking today before we started recording about like the younger generation and how they don't really tolerate that anymore. I really try to not engage with negative comments. Sometimes it gets under my skin. I am still human.
Yeah.
But it's sometimes nice to see when you're following and your community and the people that love you come to your aid in the comments and they'll just shut it down.
Yeah.
There's no room for that anymore. And it's like, you know what? I'm going to let you, don't get into an argument. Don't get yourself kicked off social media for like attacking another human. But like, it's nice to see that there's still kindness and light and good in the world, even if it is under the filter of, I mean, let's be honest, is an egg photo insulting who I am as a queer person really going to get under my skin for a long time? No. Probably going to hurt my feelings for about 5 minutes and then I'm going to move on.
Yeah.
But it's when they start going at every post and every person that you follow. And that's when like that hate just doesn't stop.
Yeah. Right? So. Yeah. You have to sort of, I always find when I see a negative comment and people like it, I go in and I look at the people who liked it.
I do it all the time.
And then I go and see that the messages that they've sent to me over the years and how they've been like quietly hateful.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, you're gone. Like it's done.
And it's funny. Yeah. And you just have to learn to put up those boundaries.
Yeah.
Right?
It's That's a boundary, not a filter. Exactly. Yeah. I guess like, and creating that space because of that hope that I think we both
carry. Okay. So I'm going to age myself because I am in my 40s.
You just
now,
said you were 40. You've already done it.
But I don't look it. So that's fine. Okay.
God bless.
God bless. Thank God for
We're aging differently now. Have you watched The Golden Bachelor? It is not the same.
My mother is obsessed. She'd never watched The Bachelor before. And she's like, you should see this show. I'm like, it's The Bachelor. It's been around for a minute.
But all I'm like, can you just drop the link to your skincare? I'm in.
And it's not just olive oil. No offense, Jeff. No. I love that we got on a tangent. That makes me so happy. It means it's a good conversation. I think speaking to the vulnerability part, there was something that you and I resonated with offline, and I wanted to talk about it because I think this is very important. I feel like creators are constantly showing the highlights of their life and their successes. Mm-hmm. And I love when we all celebrate our wins. I think that's important. And it's not boasting. It's just being proud.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of people that have to go through some serious losses. And I was one of them.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I remember when you shared this, like, I remember the moment and I was like, I would have never known.
Yeah.
And I think that it talked into a shame that people often don't speak on.
Yeah.
Which is financial shame.
Financial. And that it's a big one. So when I launched the blog, it was just me sole proprietor. Mm-hmm. And then throughout the years, I grew. I actually had like a team of 15 at one point.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
I was writing in 3 languages in 4 countries. Like I was really.
Incredible.
I wanted to be the next BuzzFeed.
Yeah.
Now, I did not go to school for business. I went to school for marketing.
Yeah.
And I always try to make light of it because obviously humor helps through these things. But I ran my incorporation into the ground. And I had a lot of personal things going on as well at the same time. So I was really distracted. I wasn't paying attention. I got very bad financial advice. And this was the year, 2023, where I had to sort of clean it all up.
Yeah.
So I had to declare a consumer proposal. I had to face like major challenges with my finances and basically hit restart on my credit because I had to just write everything off. And you and I talked about how bankruptcy and consumer proposals and all of these things are very challenging things to go through, but a lot of people are doing it. And especially in the world that we live right now.
A lot of people are going through it. A lot of people are going through, and I have been a witness to it so many times. I've been there.
Yeah.
I've been there. And so, and it is easy. I remember when I first became, so I was a creator for 10 years before I ever made a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody was there to tell me how to financially manage that. Nobody was there to be like, hey, when you get paid for this, hold on to half of it for your taxes because you're not actually going to get paid this fully. Like that's not your money.
Nope.
So because I was like so excited to have income and not knowing, and I felt so small and so silly. And honestly, I felt stupid that I didn't know the financial side of things. And as somebody who got like their first own bank account besides like my debit card in high school after my divorce in my 30s, it was embarrassing when I was owing so much money and I didn't have it. And I felt so embarrassed that I wasn't prepared. And I also don't know why that was so shameful because how were we supposed to, how were you supposed to know in a brand new industry where nobody's talking?
This is
and
it.
Normally your taxes come right off of your paychecks.
Exactly. Because had someone no idea. Else is doing that for you.
So when you talked about it, I was like, like if it wasn't for the swift work of an accountant who was able to like help me.
Yeah.
I don't know how I would have gotten through. So when you shared that, that's why I was like, oh my gosh, I can't imagine how many people have gone through something similar. What made you decide to share that? Because it's so interesting to me. We're all about celebrating the wins and, you know, having those moments, but people often don't talk about the failures that are almost a requirement along the way. And oftentimes a rocket into the next chapter for you, but yours came at a time that was like through a lot of uncertainty.
It was.
So and what was the response when you started talking about that financial ruin?
I sort of hold on to these things and I mull over them a lot before I actually say anything because I think that it's important to not be so reactive online. And I used to be quite impulsive. I would share things haphazardly without any
cognizance. I'm so sorry. This cat is literally in your
just
face
in
as you're
love
trying,
with me.
That's you're
totally
trying
fine.
To talk. I'm so
it's okay.
Sorry.
No problem. So I have learned to not be so reactive in life and not to just jump to conclusions. Now, this was also like a year-long process that I had to... Oh, here we go. We're going to rub against the microphone. I love that. So it was a year-long process that I had to go through with the CRA. I had to do personal taxes, business taxes. I had to dig up like old landlord receipts and the landlord ended up being a monster, so she wouldn't give them to me. And it was like, there was just a lot. And then I'm reliving that year with personal stuff that was going on in my relationship that was very challenging. And that was the same year that the business kind of tanked. And I was like, oh my God, what's happening? So I had to relive all of that emotionally. And that was, it was a lot to juggle because we're going to put the cat down.
Cat is literally in the microphone. We're trying so hard to have this serious conversation. Cat's walking across
right across my face. Yeah, it was just a lot to juggle. And then I had gotten over that, like emotionally, but financially, obviously still had to deal with it. And so now all of a sudden I'm reliving one of the most challenging emotional years of my life.
Yeah.
It was just a lot to handle. So I thought, okay, I'm going to put it down. I'm going to try to explain it as eloquently as I can because writing is one of my strengths. I really love to write. It's my way. It's my art.
Yeah.
Like I love social media. It's beautiful, but my blog has always been my passion.
Yeah.
And the response was really polarizing, to be honest, because people were like, oh my God, I can't believe you've done that to yourself. And it's like, well, I had to clean up my mess. Like my husband and I are trying to save for adoption and they're going to go through all of my finances.
Yeah.
There was no hiding that anymore.
Yeah.
Right. So it was like, face it now. yeah. have a few hard years mm-hmm. and then be fine, or just ignore it for another few years. So yeah. I had to make the tough choice, and I shared it, and it was very cathartic mm-hmm. actually, which is something that I love about when you find something as a creator that you can share mm-hmm. and it's authentically yours. It mm-hmm. does feel like a release.
It does. And in a way, even though it welcomes people to shame it, it also releases you from shaming yourself with it.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite quotes. I probably said it 50 million times on this pod, but once a secret is told, it loses its power.
Absolutely.
Because we're so quietly in so much shame. We're so quiet about, especially financial shame. We're so used to seeing how well people are doing. Yep. And I think also it's an uncomfortable space when people are doing well and they've come from a time of not doing well. And it's almost like all of their success comes with this predetermined, I came from nothing.
Right. And I built it on my own. I've done it all by myself.
It doesn't matter. Either end of the spectrum, there is a level of shame on making money mm-hmm. and there's a level of shame of not managing it well. And there's a level of shame when, you know, you don't know what you're doing. It happens like across the board, and financial literacy is not something I feel a lot of us have really great knowledge on.
No.
And I also think that it's an interesting time when we grew up with watching our, you know, older generations financially move through the world differently than we possibly could now.
We would never understand
that. I often have to tell people things like this, like we bought our home 6 years ago. Mm-hmm. Do you know how different the world was 6 years ago? We couldn't actually afford the house now to buy it.
No, it's completely
for what
different.
We paid 6 years ago. So when we're looking at each other and we're making these comparative notes or this must be nice, it's like, I totally get it, because it would have been impossible to do something like that now when 6 years ago, it was an entirely different landscape and entirely different price tags on things. And everyone's just feeling this overwhelm and this shame if you have the money to buy something or if you don't have the money to buy something. Yeah, and we don't know how to meet ourselves, meet each other in the world in between of just like, we're in different places, but this is meant to be a site. We're supposed to be in community with each other.
Exactly.
We're supposed to be in a place where when one person struggles and they share that struggle, we can meet them where they're at. And when one person is in success, we can meet them where they're at. And we can understand that the cycle exists for a reason that, I don't know, it's interesting. And when you shared sort of walking through financial ruin, I think especially as an outsider witnessing your success, it mm-hmm. would be so easy for me to be like, you've just had it. You've just done
it's
well
just been like that the whole time.
And it's been easy and you've just waltzed through on whatever basis with good writing and a great personality. But the reality for so many people is much different. Some of the top creators I know built really big teams and then realized it's very overwhelming to manage that and then also have to do your job. So there's a lot of people who are scaling back from building big and trying to figure out, how do I do small and success?
Yeah.
How do I do small and happy? How do I do small in this? And I've even had conversations with my kids where we've talked about there can be really amazing high paying jobs, mm-hmm. but that doesn't equate being the happiest one.
No.
I've been loving the trend of the no makeup makeup look, and I know a lot of that comes from having really good skincare that can support that. And I recently discovered Oak Essentials. Oak Essentials line is full of luxurious products that really work, especially if you are trying to achieve that natural no makeup look. I really love that they're so simplistic. I find it really overwhelming to look at so many different products and needing everything from something from your forehead to your elbow. This seems very simplified and easy to access and understand when it comes to skincare. But let me tell you a little bit about Oak Essentials, because they were launched in 2021 by the team behind Jenny Kane. Oak Essentials is known for its simple approach to self-care, with a lineup of foundational skincare staples made with high-quality ingredients to create products that drive results. Oak Essentials aims to unlock healthy, glowing skin with decadent and hydrating ingredients that give you luxe, dewy looks every time. The Oak Essentials approach to aging is centered in the idea of helping you look and feel your best at every age. And some of their top-selling items are things like their moisture-rich balm or their conditioning lip balm. And you can even get some of these in a bundle, like their best-selling items, for a simple start-to-finish skincare routine. Not to mention, it makes the perfect gift for any skincare lover in your life, and the packaging is absolutely beautiful. I don't know if you're like me, but you like something that looks pretty on the shelf. If you check out Oak Essentials, you'll be like, okay, I get it. It's gorgeous. I wouldn't even tuck that away in a drawer. This holiday season, get yourself or someone you love Oak Essentials. It's been a go-to skincare for so many for radiant and glowing skin. And my followers get 15% off their first order when they use code PAPAYA at checkout. That's 15% off your first order at OAKESSENTIALS.com, promo code PAPAYA. Whether you're starting from scratch or filling in the gaps, Oak Essentials gives you one less thing to worry about. Treat yourself because you deserve it. With the weather changing and with everyone sort of feeling the weight of that end of year pressure that seems to just happen, whether it comes from going into new social situations and gearing yourself up to be around family or just really feeling overwhelmed. It doesn't really matter what it is. Different seasons of life can really be difficult and needing some support as you navigate through them. This is something I love about Talkspace because having to find and source therapy shouldn't be one more thing and burden on your list. Talkspace makes it so easy to make that difference in your life. And if you think seeing a therapist or psychiatrist would be helpful, but you don't have the time to actually find one, meet with them, or afford them, this is where you can try Talkspace. By doing everything online, Talkspace has made getting the help you want easy, accessible, and more affordable. And sometimes people wait until something bad happens, which I totally get that. That's usually me. I wait until something is going on and then I'm like, I need therapy. And I'm trying to reverse that for myself, even though I feel like I say this all the time. It is so much better to prepare than it is to try and repair. But either way is totally valid. But with Talkspace, you can get the help you need before something happens, while something's happening, or after it's happened. It can help shift your perspective, find the tools to cope in difficult times, or just be that guiding light. At Talkspace.com, you can sign up online and get a personalized match with a provider that's right for you, typically within 48 hours. It's incredibly convenient to have virtual sessions with your licensed therapist from the comfort of your home. There's no need to commute to appointments, miss time at work, or line up childcare in order to attend sessions. It's mental health care made easy. Talkspace lets you send messages to your therapist so you don't have to wait for your next session. And it's the number one online therapy platform with licensed therapists in over 40 specialties, including anxiety, depression, substance abuse, relationship issues, and much more. Talkspace is secure and private, using the latest end-to-end bank-grade encryption technology to store client information and complying with the latest HIPAA regulations. And while Talkspace is affordable, it's also in network with most major insurers. As a listener of this podcast, you'll get $80 off your first month with Talkspace when you go to Talkspace.com/papaya. To match with a licensed therapist today, go to Talkspace.com/papaya to get $80 off your first month and you'll show support for the show. That's Talkspace.com/papaya. Take care of yourself and let's get back to the show. What's your happiest job you've ever had?
Okay, so I actually really love doing marketing in the restaurant industry.
Because Yeah. I used to love being a server. Okay, I think being a server was my favorite.
I loved being a server. I made so much money.
Oh my God, so much money.
And then didn't have to worry about the taxes.
Different story.
But I ended up going to school for marketing, mm-hmm. and then I got into food and beverage marketing. So I actually had a job at a restaurant in downtown Toronto, and I helped them launch in Canada. And it was one of my favorite experiences because everything I was doing was new for the brand. Yeah. And I remember I launched a drag brunch. Yeah. It was right before COVID and it was like this wildly successful thing. And I was super proud of myself. I had hired Priyanka pre-Canada's Drag Race. So we didn't know that she was on it, let alone going to be the winner. And it was just this wildly insane world. And I was really good at it. But I mean, I love being a creator. I really do. TV is sort of, I find my biggest joy right now.
Oh, I'm so, you're going to have to tell me the story of how that happened. Because you've just made the move back to Toronto, right?
Well, so we're sort of in between.
Okay.
So we still have home base in Ottawa, but I'm basically half the time in Toronto because I have to be on set for CityLine. And you know this, brand deals and everything is Toronto focused.
I know. A lot of my friends, like Alicia, she's out in Nova Scotia and she will literally fly in.
Yeah.
constantly because she was like, you're outside of the world if you're not here.
100%. Philippa Jackson just did the same thing with her family and her husband. And like, they were huge in Toronto and then decided like, we want to go buy a house on the East Coast. And I love that for them.
Yeah.
But even when she comes back to Toronto, it's the same thing. So
yeah, you have to come back to sort of do the job, do the connect. I'm fortunate that I live within like an hour and a half range, but then and a lot of people have moved out of the city in the last few years, but it does create this like, okay, now I have to like really wisely choose going into the city because it's a commitment for a day.
Absolutely.
So you have been doing this sort of commuter version, but how did City Line even come about?
Okay, so
like,
what is
the story?
Okay, it's a funny one. So I met my now producer back over 10 years ago because my husband is an educator by trade, but worked in the content space as well. And he was in fashion and styling and he got hired by a car company to style this huge photo shoot. And she was the friend that was chosen to do it with the winner.
So we
ended up meeting like literally a decade ago and we would cross paths and sort of grow apart and together. And coming into 2023, I knew I was turning 10 as a blog. I was turning 40 in the fall. I wanted it to be a year. So we started talking very quietly. And I got asked to do a segment in June, right before they wrapped their season. I loved it. I fell in love.
City Line. I've done it a few times it's like always such a good time.
Incredible.
She's incredible.
Like one of the most just down to earth, real people.
She's so real. It's not even funny. Like she's so who she is on and off. I remember like going and doing the show and then she afterwards was like leaving and she was in an Uber and like stopped the car and rolled down the window and like wanted to still chat. And like, I was just like, you're just one of those people. And she's a positive person on social media. She's a commenter.
She's so supportive. She shares really funny things actually, which I really appreciate because you need a good giggle in the morning.
No, she's great. And she just shows up through all the seasons. Like she is truly, I don't know. She's going to go down in as like one of the iconic hosts of Canadian television history for sure.
And I mean, broadcast right now has been struggling in Canada,
of course.
Right?
We've seen this.
Many shows are getting shut down or scaled back or stations in different cities are being closed up. So it's a lot to juggle.
Yeah.
So I got asked to be a regular expert, which I was so proud of.
And what is your expertise?
So I get to do product testing and then lifestyle, which is a fabulous umbrella term. So I get to do a little bit of everything. So my holiday ones are coming up in November. Mm-hmm. So I'm booking a couple of days, several weeks, and I'm just looking forward to it. But I feel this sense of like, this is the time for me to be on TV.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, when you hit these milestones in your career, whatever you do, where it just feels like you've made the right choice.
Yeah.
So I'm manifesting it. I'm going to put it on this podcast with you out there in the world.
That I'm going to be in a Christmas movie?
Yes, that as well. But also that in the next 5 years, I really want to get like a co-host or I want a show or I want to be on broadcast.
Oh my God.
Like I love City Line and I will forever do it. Every day if they wanted me to, but like, I'm ready for that.
That's so cool. I love that. And I have to ask you because I have noticed that, you know, the creator space has never really been taken seriously.
Never.
Have you found that people are treating you differently as now somebody on TV? Like you're now legitimate?
Okay, so this is very funny because I remember, and you'll remember these days, when as content creators, we were called unconventional media. Do you remember that?
Oh, I wish that was the name now. Because when you say influencer, you feel everyone in the room be like,
roll their eyes and go, ugh. Yeah.
If you say podcaster, they're cool with it.
And
if you look in the news, they'll say TikTok stars.
Yeah. They're very hyper named now.
They're
right?
Like really, they're glamorous.
Yeah.
And then everything else is influencer. And it's immediately a negative tone.
I agree.
Sucks.
It does suck. And it's funny. I remember when the shift happened in PR pitches.
Because now you're TV personality.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So like, I'm kind of like, I'm straddling the fence a little bit.
Yeah.
I love being considered an on-air personality. I think it's a lot of fun. It's a different space. But yes, obviously it's different. So people who didn't necessarily, I don't want to say see my value, but people who didn't necessarily think I was aligned with what their goals were for their clients or their agency, all of a sudden are like, we should catch up. And I was like, I remember. Like, I would email you and be like, I really want to try your hairbrush. And you never answered the phone. And now all of a sudden you're like, do you want to do a City Line segment about it? It's funny. I mean, it's a different world. And I never want to be bitter. And I never want to be mean.
I'm the same way.
But like, definitely a little bit different now.
I used to like fangirl. Like, I was such a small creator for so long that like, I remember just being in the audience of just like, just being so wide-eyed at people. And I would DM them like these big embarrassing things and just like how much I love them or appreciated their content, anything like that. And then it was so weird how like nobody would ever respond and then all of a sudden like you get big and then people are like,
oh my God, you're big. They
all of a sudden are like willing to have a relationship with you.
Absolutely.
And I'm like, oh, it's so weird. But it's also like, we live in a capitalist society. Yes, I get it. 100%. People are looking for like mutual beneficial things, but it is, it's kind of, this is a big reason like my heart is with companies like Nyx, because they saw my value when I was nobody to the world, right? Like I wasn't.
And you know, I'm such a huge supporter. I actually took my mom to the Nyx store in Ottawa. We got her fitted. And like, so Mama Sue is quickly becoming her own thing. If she takes off with the podcast, God, I'm done. Dana will be forgotten in the dust.
I'm the same way. Nana Kimmy.
Oh, that's it.
Are you kidding me? Everyone's like, when is she going to be the next Miss Rachel and start her own show? And I'm like, you know what's funny about that? Nobody's ever asked me to make a Miss Rachel show, because everyone's like, you don't have her same tone of voice and candor as Nana Kimmy. They're like, oh, my kids love Nana Kimmy videos. And I'm like,
okay.
And not me?
Yeah, okay, you're like, okay. I mean, I made the kid and I was made by her. You know what I mean? I'm somewhere in the equation there.
my mom is like Mother Goose and Martha Stewart combined. And I'm not that person. I'm just not.
Okay,
and I'm
fair.
So okay with it now, because I'm like, guess who is that person? Nana Kimmy.
Nana,
and she gets to be herself. So Julio, Mama Sue's going to be herself.
That's right. Shout out to Mama Sue. If she can figure out how to get a podcast on her phone or laptop, she's going to hear
she's
this.
She's going
to
do this.
That's it. That's all.
Then it's over.
I'm just such a big proponent for your mom, because obviously my husband is an ECE. So when you shared that, I was like, oh, I get it. I totally get it.
Yeah.
So when my niece and nephew come over and we like babysit, Julio's got like a lesson plan. And I was like, what is happening right now?
So
meanwhile,
much.
I'm like, throw on some Pokemon and let's order a pizza. Like I want to be that to you, Dan.
I grew up with every week of my childhood was themed.
Oh my God, I love that.
And I'm not even kidding, because she ran a daycare for 25 years.
Yeah.
And my mom took that, like she was an ECE, but she ran a home daycare, so like a classroom.
Yeah.
So we, every morning, we would wake up and like the routine would be that we each got to choose we did circle time. We each got to choose a book
we
sang about the day and we said how we were and we read our stories and we were so horrible to her. We would always choose I Love You Forever because we knew it would make her cry.
No.
And we'd be like, and now I'm like, if my kid reads and wants me to read that book, I'm like,
yeah, exactly.
Like, you know, you're just like, it's so traumatizing. But yeah, so, and she would theme the week. So it would be like Space Week and we would learn all about the planets that week, and she would hang literal planets in the room
Get
of the daycare.
Out of here.
So when I'm like, when people witness the little snippets of her with Lemmy, I'm like, this is my mom as a retired ECE with such a heart and passion for children. She would much rather spend her full days with children over her days with adults. And she admits that openly. She's like, children are like the light and the gift of this world.
It's true.
And I'm like, I'm overwhelmed by the children. I've got four of them. They're doing a lot. I love them. And I just shared yesterday, like Lemmy coming downstairs and like seeing the Christmas tree and being like, wow, it's beautiful. And I'm like, God, they're just so enthusiastic about everything.
They are.
Right?
So, and I love that. I mean, so my niece is in her first ever school play.
Oh
so
my gosh, you're all going to be a mess watching
1,000%.
That.
1,000%. And obviously they're doing Frozen. And so she's given us the list of all the characters that she is. And because there's multiple characters.
She's ready.
And we've already been told, like, do not book anything in your schedule, T.O. Dan, in February of 2024, because that's when the play is. And too bad, so sad, that's what you're doing.
Yeah.
And I'm excited. And it's fun. But like, she's 8, so it's that age now.
Yeah.
And my nephew's 4, so he's kind of going into like just getting into school and his regular routines. And I love that.
Yeah.
But I joke around with Julio. My husband's name is Julio. I didn't say that because he's an ECE. And so when we have kids, I already know it's going to be like that, like what your mom did.
And you're going to be like, do we have to?
Exactly. I'm going to be the one probably having to hang the things in the middle of the night while he does the lesson plans. So, I mean, it's all about balance, right?
It's like, all about balance.
That's right.
You know, and I was just like, my mom loves to do crafts and stuff with the kids. And I just like, it's so messy for me. I don't know why it bothers me so much. But I was like, I don't want to play with Play-Doh. I would rather play with real dough.
Okay.
So my kids, we were always, a big routine we had was actually baking together.
I love that.
So we used to always, I was a stay-at-home mom for 10 years. So you did a lot of like mundane things that would like, and so I struggled so much to connect with the stuff that didn't make sense to me in my head. I would rather have done something that equated to, I don't know why I was that kind of mom.
There
but
was
I
like
also
a result
to,
at the end of it.
Yes,
kind of situation.
I literally had to be like, but that's okay. And I remember one day I was cooking dinner and I turned around the kitchen. Bowden was maybe 4 or 5 and he started flipping the Brussels sprouts in the pan and shaking the pan and doing the whole thing. And I thought, this can't be all that bad because
really
he's,
not.
Look at him, look at the life skill he's learning. I don't know if he could do that now. Now he's like, let's just pop some, he's obsessed with those little like pizza bites.
Oh my God, the things that burn the inside of your mouth.
Yeah, he could just live on pizza bites. He's a very simple, but if he does like if he's cooking, he'll make a full homemade mac and cheese like from scratch.
Okay, all right.
He does
I appreciate
the things,
that.
But Yeah, it's interesting as my kids have gotten older and as I've done less of that and as I've been just like busier and doing other things, they forget that we used to like bake every day and like do all these extravagant things. But yeah, I feel like we really have to forgive ourselves, not forgive ourselves, but give ourselves grace for like who we are as people.
Yeah.
Instead of trying like, I'm not Nana Kimmy.
No.
And I'm so glad that she is and that I had such a beautiful experience. My children have such a beautiful experience. And I'm glad that I'm the mom that I have been.
Yeah.
Because I think my kids are like the coolest people to hang out with. So I'm like okay with it all. Do you know what I mean?
It's all
like,
about finding that balance. And you've got to be okay with, and going back to the world of social media.
Yeah.
Like, especially, and I don't know what it's like to be a parent yet because we haven't started that journey. But I feel like that's probably even added pressure on top of everything else out there because you see all these families and what they're doing and how they're living.
Oh my gosh, it's like, and so much information. It was my fourth kid this time and I found that social media really increased my anxiety and the timeline that I was putting on my child. I didn't notice certain things like that she was, you know, not walking fast enough yet or, you know, her speech wasn't as quick as some other kids. It was being brought to me. And I was like, I don't remember when my other kids started talking or started. I think Bowden didn't even start walking till he was close to two.
Okay.
And I'm like, we actually caught him walking. He just liked to be carried.
Okay, fair. So, I mean,
that's
who doesn't
is,
really
as
at
a
the
person.
End of the day? Yeah.
So I'm like, it's interesting. It was interesting the fourth time really experiencing social media in the new way it is now and recognizing how much you are no longer a person on the internet. You were the carrier or the protector of a child. And so everybody became like this person is, and they're seeing 15 second snippets
and they think that they know
they
your
have
entire,
an entire
child's
conclusion.
Life. Yeah.
That said, I also have really appreciated the benefits of social media because Lemmy has a really rare allergy called F-pies. And I was talking about a symptom she was having when she started eating food that she was vomiting and we'd never seen her throw up before. And if it wasn't for the mothers in my DMs being, I hope it's okay that I share this, but have you looked into F-pies?
So it's that sense of community coming
together
again.
So it's like we as a community have such an opportunity to uplift and instill or to judge and tear down. And one thing I've learned so much because it's really overwhelming as a parent on social media is to ask somebody, oh, I have experience with this. If you ever want to chat, let me know.
Yeah.
Instead of being like, I have experience with this. This is what you need to do.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh. It's so hard, especially when you're watching somebody go through something for the first time and you know that you might have a solution for them. And then you have to go like, but they probably have 100 people messaging them right
literally.
Now. So, hey, I have experience with this. If you ever need to chat,
has
been like my godsend of
I would say that that's just kind of a nice way of looking at life, right?
Yeah. Like, even like when people talk about, I'm sure you had this too with sharing about your finances, the trauma dumping.
Oh gosh. Yeah. And it was always people, and I'm very guilty of this. I do this all the time because I find it's my way to connect.
Yes, I do it too.
Yeah. Trauma bonding is a thing, right?
It
and
is.
It's unfortunate because it's how a lot of us think of the world. I mean, even you and I in our friendship, like, I'll be honest, it gives me some anxiety sometimes because I don't want to ever come on too strong because
I'm such
a big person and such a big personality. And I just want, I text you all the time. And it's so funny.
But I love that.
Yeah, but
I hate that you're a green bubble
I
and I can't just heart it
I'm
because
so
sometimes
sorry.
It's in the middle of an airplane and I'm like, Daniel, I can't even text you back because I'm like at that, the one text I got from you, it was funny. We were in that still like that weird little when you're taking off and it's not quite out of the Wi-Fi yet. And so I couldn't actually respond. And it bothered me that for the flight, I was like, you're probably sitting and thinking you annoyed me. And I literally can't reply to you. There's no Wi-Fi on this flight.
And it's
There's nothing
it's
I can do.
Probably coincided with me listening to the podcast where you talked about people with the green bubbles. And since then, do you notice that I don't text as often? I send you DMs on Instagram because I'm terrified of getting the reaction of the, ugh, no. Obviously, it's jokes.
It's like, only in group chats that it destroys us because we're in a group chat with Shane and I, Scott and Becky.
Yep.
Scott is an Android and the rest of us. So there will be a photo that's sent and everybody understands the context except for Scott.
So what I've heard is that if I send a video to an Apple group chat that it doesn't go properly. Like
it doesn't get received. It doesn't get received.
I'm just living for this cat's adventure right now. If I wish everybody could see it, like this is the most animated cat I've ever seen in my life.
I know. She's ridiculously affectionate and she is an
the
entire
table is
character.
Covered.
I know.
Hair. Yeah, it's fabulous.
Thank goodness we're going to wipe it all down. Danielle, I'm going to be honest. I didn't know we were going to go this entire direction, but I also feel like we're both long-term creators and we both are experiencing a lot of hope and a lot of frustrations with social media, but I hope that everyone's taking away that we have such an opportunity to be really good community online.
I agree.
We have such an opportunity to be the good that we hope to see in this world as hard as it is sometimes, you know how hard it is to scroll by something sometimes? Oh, it's so hard.
Yeah.
But man, is it such a beautiful thing to make that choice. And I have such a, it is hard to show up for a long time. And it's hard to put yourself in vulnerable spaces and in vulnerable conversations. And I think you're drawn into it the same way I am. But I also think that you do such a good job at entertaining people, but also bringing in the realness of who you are and with the long-term expertise that you have.
Thank you for saying that. I really am
so happy that we had this, because clearly it's a conversation I think both of us almost need. So I'm just going to, everyone listening, at the beginning of this, I'm like, there's no plan. And Daniel was
great. Literally. Yeah, let's just go into it.
And we hit record. Yeah. And now we've had this like beautiful conversation that for me, I'm feeling a little bit more confident and comfortable to go back on social media, knowing that I can't fix everything, but I can be who I am.
Absolutely.
And I can show up in the hope that I have.
Yeah.
And I can be that small bit of change that I can create. And I think that that's what we have to ride on. We have to ride on that hope and that support for each other, even in failure and in success, because there's shame that comes with both.
That's right. And at the end of the day, I think the biggest lessons in my life have always come through hard times.
Truly.
And it's not that it has to come through bad.
I know.
But those moments have really shaped me and defined me and put me on the right course, right?
It's so true.
I'm the person I am today because of the mistakes I made yesterday.
Yeah. So. It's so true. There's a quote that I had a really hard time with the concepts of like, everything happens for a reason.
Oh yeah. That's a big one.
That was hard for me because I had some rough things happen in my life and I was like, I can't possibly allow myself to believe that that was something that was supposed to happen to me, that it happened for a reason. What's the reason? Mm-hmm. But I do believe that good can come from anything.
I agree.
Especially if you're willing to learn from them, especially if you're willing to not be hardened by them.
Yep.
I still get hurt by awful text messages, awful DMs. I still get hurt by, you know, some of the things that happen online. I get hurt by them. And for me, it just shows that I'm not hardened. It mm-hmm. shows that I'm soft still.
And you're still a beautiful person online.
We're still working through it.
Positive, and you share positive. We were just talking about this offline, that you engage positively with things that aren't even in your circle.
Yeah.
Just for the sake of putting good
into
the world. I just
want to be a good person online.
I genuinely believe at the end of the day, and I know we're wrapping up, but I think if you just put good into the world without an expectation of anything in return. That's
you're not going to get the thank you note.
You're not.
Yeah.
But you also don't need it.
Yes, right? Exactly.
And even me just saying this kind of makes me feel ick, but like I work with charities, I work with causes that I don't need everybody to see.
Exactly.
And yes, I could use my platform to share that, to validate it, but just doing it is enough for me.
It is. And it really brings a lot of joy and it brings a lot of purpose, especially when you and I have both come from places where we didn't have it much.
No.
And so when you do have it, there is a layer of like you acknowledge and you understand your privilege and you also understand the cycle that works and the opportunity that we now have.
Absolutely.
Most people see us opening boxes. We were just talking about this before the show. Most people will see us opening boxes and receiving free things and they don't see that they end up underneath somebody else's Christmas tree.
Absolutely. Or donated really to a charity
We can't openly say that. We're in a perfect cycle right now where people are sending us things and we get to be the conduit between that and the person who needs it.
Absolutely.
And so we're creating a space to do that. When people send you products to try, you usually keep one.
Yeah.
And then you can give away the rest.
I 100% try it. Don't get me wrong. Like, it's not to say that everything that comes through my door is going out the door. But you have to find balance. I mean, you know this.
Yeah.
Every brand and every account that's out there that wants to like what we're doing wants to send us their product, but they want to send all their product.
Yeah, or the entire, like a new lipstick is out. Yeah. Here is all 24 shades. Yeah. And you're like, great, this is the one that I would choose.
This is the one that I like.
And you know what? There's going to be 23 other women who are going to get the rest. And I love that ability. And I feel more and more that because we come from a lot of shame in financial success as well, that there has to be, Nicole Walter said this to me once, like trust people that are good with like good people who they are with money and what they do with it, right?
That's
because
right.
Most people that I know are successful, we might see them, you know, buying themselves a new handbag and we're not seeing them fund three jobs and like their entire families.
Absolutely.
And giving out money constantly because they aren't talking and always showing that, because now there's also the, you can't do good and talk about it without it being because you only want
because
attention
you want validation.
You want, like you're only, you can't do a nice thing and not say anything about it. And the end result doesn't change. Whether we talk about it or whether we're quiet about it, the end result is somebody got something that they needed.
Absolutely.
And that's just it. So I appreciate that we have these really cool jobs that get us to do these really cool things and cool opportunities.
Yeah.
And I like that we get to share that invisibly and visibly with other communities.
I agree.
And I think no matter what we're doing online, whether we're openly sharing something vulnerable or whether we're sharing the fluff, it's the same thing. We're creating an outcome of people seeing or being entertained and connecting with those who really are looking for that community. And I think that that is the true ethos of what I hope to see as social media and what I've seen time and time again when people are struggling through life, whether you're going through divorce, financial ruin, whether you're moving to a new area, whether you are freshly cut your hair short and you don't know how to style it.
Yeah.
You might not have somebody in your relational world that knows how to go through that, but there is somebody on social media.
Absolutely.
And you're going to find them and you're going to find community there. And that's why we do what we do.
That's right.
That's it.
And it's one of the reasons why we've become friends over the years.
Truly.
And I'm so grateful for connections like this.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
With strangers around the world that still click on my blog and still read something as honest and open as what I was sharing.
Yeah. So tell everyone where they can find your content besides CityLine.
Besides CityLine. Hey, Tracy. So you can find me at dothedaniel.com and then dothedaniel on all social media platforms.
Amazing. What is where did dothedaniel come from?
Okay, you're going to laugh. So I have always been in marketing. I've always been in branding. And a friend of mine was trying to create an online presence. And we did the do the in front of his name. And he didn't take it. Oh. And so I took it.
Amazing. Amazing.
And it was always meant to be like, So I trademarked when I was incorporated, and it was real people doing real things because I always wanted it to just be very approachable, anyone could do what I was doing. So that's what it's all about.
That's really, really cool. And nice that people actually know what your first name is as opposed to me when they just yell birds or in the
papaya.
Streets.
Papaya.
Papaya. Thank you everyone for listening. I hope this was a meaningful conversation for you all and hopefully a reflective one too, whether you're a creator or consumer of social media and just any type of life chapter that you might be in. We're all going through things and I loved that Daniel kind of spoke about the window and less of it being a mirror. And I think that that was a huge moment for me. So thank you so much for tuning in and we will of course see you next week. Thank you so much for listening all the way through this episode. If you've made it this far, I have one more little thing to share with you. Did you know that I actually have a photo and video editing app? So many people were surprised to hear that I have one, but it's actually been around for a little while and you can join over 200,000 of the Papaya community by downloading my free app, Pink Papaya on iOS. While so many apps focus on changing your appearance, Pink Papaya is all about celebrating yourself for exactly who you are and expressing your creativity and your storytelling with nearly 50 free filters and tools. Find us on social and share your edits as well. We might just share them too. So tag me as well at Pink Papaya app. Just had to share that with you, especially as the springtime's coming. We've got some really cool things happening in there and so much more coming. Check it out at Pink Papaya app. Thanks so much for listening and have a great day. Well, friends, thank you so much for tuning in and listening to today's episode. For more information on this episode, check out the show notes or find us on Instagram at The Papaya Podcast. And if you loved what you just listened to or know somebody who would, please share it. Simply screenshot today's episode in the podcast app and share it to your Instagram stories. And don't forget to tag us. Last but not least, if you'd like to lend your personal support to the podcast, take a moment and leave a review on iTunes. We would be oh so grateful. Tune in next week for a fresh new episode of the Papaya Podcast, and we'll see you then. Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.